I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast universe of lore behind the Mass Effect games. We'll talk about all the details you may have missed, ask the hard questions, and more.
Welcome back, Shepherds. Sometimes I like to say Shepherds instead of Spectres because it's funny to think of a universe of us out there all being the same person but looking slightly different. This is the Mass Effect Lorecast. I'm your host, Tom or Robots, and Sam is here with me as usual. Sam, welcome back. How you doing?
I'm well. I had Panda Express today, so I'm on Cloud 9.
Cloud 9 with Panda Express. Yeah, man, it's been a while since I've had a Panda Express.
I ate it. I'm liking it now. I'm gonna pay for it later.
Yeah, well, it's like the, you know, it's the fast food of, you know, it's just fast food. That's what happens. Anyway, this is the fast food episode. So last episode we went over the technology of weapons in Mass Effect, but you're telling me, and we kind of landed the last episode on kind of a cool idea that the stuff we discussed last week doesn't apply to all the weapons, that there's actually variations on this?
No, it doesn't apply to all of them. There are some notable exceptions that I want to talk about because of how cool the explanation of their mechanics is. And so everything that we discussed last episode is still applicable for like the majority of small arms in the Mass Effect universe.
Mass Effect fields, like chopping off the metal block and the little projectiles, all of that stuff.
Yeah, that's the basic technology of firearms in Mass Effect.
Right.
But there are more exceptions than we have time to go over. So I wanted to give a list of my favorite, my list of four cool, unique weapons and what we know about their technology.
Oh, this sounds cool. Okay, awesome. Well, let's dig into it. Which one do we start with?
We got to start with my personal favorite, the M920 Kane.
Kane, like Kane and Abel Kane? Like this one's used to shoot your brother?
I looked at it in the Art of Mass Effect book, and I didn't see anything biblical, so I don't think that it was biblical.
Okay,
but the
well, it's
actual
spelled C-A-I-N. So
it is. However, the person that it's named after, you might be familiar with.
Ah,
it's Tim Kaine from Fallout.
Really?
Yeah, it's Tim Kaine. They actually named it after Tim Kaine.
Wow. Huh.
So. Yeah, designer on Fallout and Fallout 2.
Yeah, but I wonder why a gun. Like, I wonder if it. Okay, well,
it's a nuke gun.
I see. Like a mini nuke. I getcha.
Yeah, and so how could someone not like a nuke gun? Like, this is basically the fuck you gun.
Yeah,
and it's my personal favorite because like anyone that's watched my streams knows that like after a few deaths in a certain engagement, I get so rattled and eventually. Like if I have the cane on me, like I'm like, all right, it's enough child's play. It's time to sit the fuck down.
I'm coming this out. I'm pulling this thing out. Yeah.
And so I pull it out when I've been struggling with Jesus. I should rephrase that. I pull the gun out when I've been struggling with pyros flanking me with turrets. Sorry, I can't get over that gaff.
Just whip it out, dude.
I pulled this gun out when I've been struggling with pyros flanking me and turrets and, you know, being spammed across the battlefield and banshees just keep swarming your location, grabbing your fucking head. And it's just so annoying. So, you know, it's like, nope, I'm not going to deal with it. Kane time. And then they die.
Yeah. Well, in Fallout, for anybody who doesn't play Fallout, there's a mini nuke, which is kind of like a portable... I don't know. It's like it's got like a little nuke bomb that sits in like a little sled, and it goes like off the little thing, and it shoots like, I don't know, 50 yards in front of you, and then all of a sudden, mushroom cloud.
It's like a handheld warhead trebuchet.
Right. Yeah.
That's basically what it is.
Yeah.
And it's it's so. I don't know. It's funny and it's violent and it's very Fallout. But Kane is also very, the M920 Kane is very Mass Effect. As for the details about how it works, the codex tells us that this is a portable particle accelerator surrounding an array of dust form element zero chambers. What the fuck does that mean?
These are just words. I don't dust form like, element zero. I know what an element zero is. A chamber is a place where you put it in. Dust form, like the element zero is in dust form rather than like one massive solid.
It's a portable particle accelerator that is surrounding chambers with element zero, but it's in dust. And so if you're still unsure of what a particle accelerator is, have you heard of the Large Hadron Collider?
Yeah. The CERN collider that everybody who is like was overly out there thinks that is run by Satanists and is going to destroy the world. What? Have you heard this? This is like, there is a contingent of extremely religious people. An old friend of mine is a pastor, and he's a very conservative Christian. He's, you know, evangelical. And he had to do a series of like live videos of him like talking down his congregation because he's like, guys, this science stuff isn't going to kill us. It's not run by Satanists. It's not the end of the world. Like, they've been doing this since the 50s. It's totally fine. Because there are contingents among that community that, like, anytime science does anything, it's like, oh, it's run by Satanists and they're going to destroy the world.
Right.
Right.
Burn them at the stake. Rah,
rah, rah. Right. Which is ironic. But
anyway. Salem Witch Trials 2022.
So this what we're talking about here is a particle accelerator.
Yes. The Large Hadron Collider. I misspelled it in my notes.
I should screenshot this. hold on. This is going to go on the screen.
I misspelled it on my notes. And so we'll share it here on the screen because this is a pretty unfortunate typo. And normally I'm pretty good about those, but Google Drive did not give me the red squiggly line underneath that let me know I fucked up.
No, it didn't. Instead, it says this on the screen right here.
Instead, it says the Large Hadron Collider.
Hadron Collider, yeah.
It's just rocketing hard-ons at each other.
Yep. Well, I mean, you did have to expose yourself or whatever you said earlier.
Yeah, well, I do.
You whipped it out.
I pull out the cane when I'm having a hard time. It's basically, you know, a miniature Large Hadron Collider. And for anyone who's familiar with the particle accelerator, when you hear a portable, miniature, weaponized one of those, it sounds terrifying for good reason. It's a miniature one of those, and here's how it works. So Ezo, in dust form, like we said, is subjected to extreme positive and negative electrical currents.
Isn't electricity just negative? Electrons are negative.
Yes, I believe you're right.
How do you? Oh, I guess like positive and negative, like the poles of like the battery, charge. Like the charge. Okay.
Yes.
I was like, how do you make an electron positive? Isn't that like that's a proton. Like,
how do you make an electron positive? You tell them a funny joke, Tom.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
They are subjected to extreme currents on both ends of the charges. So the weapon therefore alters the mass of particles to such extreme degrees that when it collides the particles at the target at high speeds, it creates a mushroom cloud. Mm-hmm. Now, the game also tells us in a separate place that was taken from the codex. But this next thing, it tells us in the description of the weapon, it says that it fires a 25-gram slug at 5 kilometers a second. And I'm not quite sure how that ties in with the electrical currents and whatnot. Maybe the electrical currents are just altering the mass of that slug. But hey, it communicates a point well enough, which is that lots of force, big boom.
Yeah, 5 kilometers per second is really, really fast. Speed of light, kilometers.
It's like 2 miles a second.
It's 30,000 kilometers per second is the speed of light, roughly. So 5 kilometers per second is that's a significant fraction of the speed of light. I mean, it's not a ton, but that's still fast.
How many miles per hour is that? I don't know the conversion to miles to kilometers, mainly because I'm an American.
Miles, 30,000 kilometers per second. I guess that would be times 60 times 100 times 60. for miles per hour?
I guess so. Day, I see you in chat asking if I was positive about that electrical current. Hey, man, I'm just bringing you the lore as it is. I didn't write it.
100 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour. So that'd be times 100 times 60. That was 1,800,000,000 kilometers per hour.
What? Really?
That's the speed of light. Yeah.
Oh, the speed of light. Yes. Right. Okay.
So if it was, okay, so if it was, sorry, if it was the 5 kilometers per second, is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Okay. So that would be five. How many miles
per hour is that?
A kilometer is shorter than a mile. So 5 kilometers per second converted to miles. I'll have to do it. You keep talking. I'll figure it out.
Well, it would be, whoops. I'm multiplying 5.
Here it is. 60, I found it. 60 I found seconds. It's 11,184 miles an hour.
Jesus. yeah, that's quick. And it's a 25 gram slug that has apparently been affected by mass effect fields that alter the mass of it at such extreme degrees that it creates a mushroom cloud.
Wow. Cool.
So, it's not really a nuclear weapon, though. Not really. Because it doesn't cause fission or fusion, and it doesn't leave fallout, like radioactive fallout, so long as, I guess, the target itself is not a nuclear warhead. Uh-huh. It does have nuclear reactions inside the weapon. But the codex tells us that those are shielded by lead alloys and graphite rods.
Graphic rods.
Jesus.
The Hardon Collider is pretty graphic. It's a graphic rod.
First, I'm talking about whipping it out. And then I got large Hardon Colliders. and now rods. I'm talking about graphic rods.
This is almost as good as our episode where you talked about slamming it in the ass.
There's a lot of gaps for one episode.
Oh man, this one's getting the mature rating. This explicit.
Shielded by we're earning that one. Shielded by lead alloys and graphite rods to protect the user. The graphite rods will protect you, not the graphic ones. Those don't protect you.
No.
But you know, like I said, it got its name from Tim Kaine in Fallout, and that makes a lot more sense than Kaine from Cain and Abel.
Sure. Sure.
And if you remember in Mass Effect 2, we pick up these things that are called power cells. Those are the things that power our heavy weapons, right? Mm-hmm. And they can be broken down, though. Because as you remember last episode, we talked about how the Omni Tool can kind of refabricate things into different things. And these power cells can be refabricated into the graphite rods with an Omni Tool. Oh. Because the graphite rods absorb the radiation from the nuclear processes that are going on inside the weapon.
Right. Interesting. Okay. So this is no question that this is one of the most destructive weapons in the series. But we've only covered the first one so far. What's number two?
Yeah. So the second one that I have is the Geth Spitfire. It's not technically a weapon that we can put in our loadouts in any one of the games, but it is one that we find in Mass Effect 3 and we can use it. Mm-hmm. And its technology is kind of amazing. It looks like a minigun that might have been attached to a World War II fighter jet.
That's the Spitfire.
The Spitfire.
Anyone who doesn't know, there's a World War II British fighter jet, not one of the bombers, one of the fighters, that's called the Spitfire.
Yeah, famously effective. Mm-hmm. But it's not really what you'd expect from a Geth weapon, because it's not an energy weapon. It fires these clusters of like electrified donuts, basically. Yeah. It's bizarre. You're going to have to stick with me. Uh-huh. It fires these clusters of electrified donuts that shatter upon impact. And then the projectiles create these electric arcs between the fragments, and they cover the donuts in super hot plasma.
Wow.
And it does this with like an incredibly high fire rate. And so the codex says it ends up being like you're getting cut with a cutting torch.
Yeah, that also sounds like it's got like a very broad area of effect.
Yeah, it's deadly. It's deadly, all right. Yeah.
This sounds like something that should be mounted on a vehicle or like an anti-vehicle weapon, right?
Yeah, it does. And I think that's because it looks like it was meant to cut through metal, which coincidentally, I think it was. The Codex goes on to say Alliance and Corian intelligence agencies theorize that these guns were designed to destroy other Geth. Other Geth. Mm-hmm. So the Geth are designing weapons that are anti-Geth weapons. And that's certainly, I think, a reference in at this point in Mass Effect 3 to the ongoing rift in Geth that you know, some are fighting against the ones who choose to worship the Reapers.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Interesting. I mean, humans design weapons to kill other humans all the time, but we're not a hive mind.
Yeah, we're not a hive mind. There's our differences are no secret.
Yeah, like believing that Satanists are controlling science. Anyway, that's the first two. We're going to get to the next two after the mid-break, so why don't we go ahead and knock that out?
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am sovereign, and this station is mine. I like the sound of that.
Well, we're doubling up on our recordings this week, and chances are this recording will go up in 2 weeks when both Sam and I have the week off. I'm going to be on vacation. Sam's got some other stuff going on. And we don't get to call out any new patrons because we just did it on the last episode we recorded on our double episode recording day. But chances are, if you've signed up in the last 2 weeks, big thanks to you. I don't know your names yet because we're not in the future, but thanks for signing up, and big, big thanks to all of our patrons, all 63 of you, including Kolkashins, Cloudy Atlas, Kira, Lieutenant Tosino, and Pipe Man, and Big Bills 63, our Shepherd tier patrons. If you are interested in getting ad-free episodes, helping to support the show, and just, you know, heck, saying thanks for all the stuff that we put out because you appreciate it, then go to patreon.com/MassEffectLoreCast and check out all the different tiers, and then you can join us at the end of August for our next patron episode. So that would be awesome. We'd love to have you. Also,
don't forget the merch.
Oh, and don't forget the merch. Yes.
Yeah, I think the final shipment from when we started is going out soon. So that'll be the whole cycle of shirts.
Yeah. So that'll be the fourth design. And then, yeah. This is fun. I don't bring this up very often. The way that Patreon does it is that if you sign up any time during the first year and then stick around every 3 months, you get designs from the first year, which means if you sign up now, you haven't missed out on any of the shirts. You just need to stick around long enough to collect all three shirts. You get a new shirt every 3 months, right? But if you sign up now and then 3 months from now, cycle two kicks off, then you'll start collecting shirts from the second year as well. So you get double shirts. So you haven't really missed out yet. So that's the other thing, is that like, just because, you know, like some of you guys were able to sign up earlier, doesn't mean that like if you're signing up now you're not going to get like it's not like you'll get like the first shirt and then the thing will end and you'll miss out on the next three. You get double shirts, so it's kind of a bonus if you're late. Yeah, it's they don't have a good way of just like extending it into a second year, so this is the way it works. So that'll be fun. I'll be working on those designs coming up in the next few weeks, so stay tuned for that as well. Also, thanks for leaving ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts and ratings on Spotify. We really do appreciate those. They help us gain visibility and help new people find the show. So thanks to all of our patrons. You guys are the best. All right, let's move on.
Spit it out, or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
Okay, so far we've talked about two very heavy weapons. We're talking heavy metal here. Are they the only exceptions to the general tech behind small arms, or is there other stuff?
There are way more. And in fact, the next favorite of mine is a fully equipable assault rifle. Now, I say assault rifle in quotes because while you get it in Mass Effect 3, it's not really a rifle. It's the Prothean particle rifle. They call it a rifle. It's more like a beam gun. And of course, there isn't much known about this rifle because it's Prothean, aside from it having similarities with the Collector particle beam. But according to the lore, it was developed out of necessity because the Protheans, when they were at war with the Reapers, their supply chains kept getting shut down by warships getting blown up. So the Protheans needed a rifle that they could fire without ammo. And however, it doesn't require a cooldown, but it did suffice, it did fill that need. So while this rifle is also one of the heaviest, and it causes because of the huge weight, it will cause a nerf to your power cooldown speed, it's one of my personal favorites for a few reasons. Number one, lore-wise, super cool to be able to use Prothean technology. That's probably like the only one in existence right now.
Yeah.
That's just awesome to me. Gameplay-wise, it bursts people into green flames. That's awesome. And it applies status effects from ammo types quicker than other rifles. So like if you're using cryo ammo, it's going to get people to freeze quicker. If you're using Inferno, get them to go on fire faster. And the green flames thing isn't just a cool visual effect. It disintegrates bodies. So cannibals, you know, the Reaper-fied Batarians, mm-hmm. they go and they feed and heal on dead bodies. But if you're disintegrating the enemies, they don't have any way to heal.
It's just ashes. Yeah.
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 Yep. So maybe a deliberate design from the Protheans.
I wonder.
To slow down.
Do we know how this weapon still exists?
So I'm pretty sure it was added into Mass Effect by the From Ashes DLC, mm-hmm. which is Jovik's day one DLC.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that we just get it along with Jovik.
So like, okay, that's, yeah, like it just comes with him.
Right.
Right. Like maybe it's not like it stuck around for
pod.
Yeah. It's not like it stuck around for like 50,000 years and was like found buried on a planet somewhere or something like that, and somehow is still in working order.
That would be cool. There was a mission to find that.
Yeah, I would imagine that you would need like a room or some sort of encasing or something like Jovik's pod to maintain that it hasn't degraded over time. That kind of thing, right?
It doesn't tell us specifically, but that's what I'm imagining. That Jovik just had a few rifles in his pod because Jovik was a soldier.
Right,
so
right. Yeah, he would be equipped with backup stuff for when he wakes up, right, and all that. Yeah, that makes sense. Now, you mentioned you had one more unique weapon.
Yeah, and this one packs a wallop, even for being very small. So, everyone, don't judge by size, because sometimes...
because earlier in the episode, Sam decided to... yeah.
Pull out the cane. Yeah,
yep.
I know.
Yep. Is that what you call it? You just call it like
the cane?
The cane?
No, but I think now I will.
Hey, baby, you ready for the cane? Oh my God, stop saying that. You've turned me off for the next week.
I don't know if it's better or worse if the recipient of that comment is familiar with Mass Effect.
If you find a lady out there that you can say, hey, baby, are you ready for the cane? And she goes, yeah, she's a keeper.
She's a keeper.
Yeah, she's a keeper.
like the curators like the Citadel.
Yeah, yep. She's a 10, but she just works at this console all day.
She's a 10, but she has this weird little backpack and
and six legs or four legs or whatever they have.
Four legs. Yeah. And totally unresponsive to everything. She's a 10, but she gets annoyed at the upgrades that you put on the Citadel.
She's a 10, but I have no idea where she came from.
Yeah, I like to think of Mass Effect, this weapon, like Mass Effect's version of the noisy cricket from Men in Black, uh-huh. because it really looks like it. Of course, I'm talking about the arc pistol, which is essentially a smaller version of the heavy weapon arc projector. But that heavy weapon arc projector, that thing is like a heavy weapon and it is very heavy, but man, it's like a lightning gun. Uh-huh. It's so insane. It just fires lightning at people and zaps them to death. And of course, both that, the heavy weapon arc projector and the arc pistol are both massively effective against shields and synthetic enemies. But instead of being this massive thing to lug around, the pistol, the arc pistol, is small, portable, and it doesn't weigh much, which, by the way, very awesome if you're playing a pure biotic character like an adept, or if you're playing Sentinel, or any class where you would rely on your power cooldown speeds to be very high, or very low, rather, very fast. You would want to carry this pistol around, especially especially if your class doesn't have like overload or some other way to deal with shields, this pistol is going to be your best friend. So it just zaps the shields right out of people. It's very small. It doesn't weigh much. It's a great support weapon to have. But the technology behind it is awesome because the description of the weapon tells us that it quote, uses a non-visible laser to ionize the air and create a path for high ampere electric shock. So it's ionizing the air between the end of the muzzle and your target.
Like a lightning bolt.
It is literally a lightning
bolt. What happens is that you end up with a pathway between the clouds and the ground somewhere with like an ionized path through the air, and then boom, it triggers an electric shock that runs all the way through that path. So it's a lightning gun.
It's literally a lightning gun. And you know, it doesn't weigh much. Like I said, it can be charged up and it takes an average enemy's shields out in one or two shots. And there's also the benefit of it being developed by one of the Quarians, Admiral Darrozin. So
yeah, this is like Thor. This is like if you were Thor in Mass Effect. Right? Yeah.
So it's a totally different kind of technology. It doesn't rely on Mass Effect fields because there's no real projectile. It's just like facilitating the creation of lightning between you and your target.
Right.
So, yeah.
Man, that's nuts. That's nuts. Well, that's your four. I had a fun idea to kind of wrap up the episode. I'm just kind of just throw this at right now. Just boom. Surprise. Fun idea. If you were to make up a weapon for the next Mass Effect game, what would it do? And I've got an idea, so I can start if you want a minute to kind of think through this.
Yes, go for it.
All right. So my thought is it would be and then we're talking small arms, right? Small arms guns. This is a gun that shoots and deposits a certain amount of element zero with an electric charge on the enemy. That's the projectile. So that what it does is it alters the mass of the enemy you're shooting at. So if it's like a human or a Geth or something like that, boom, a Mass Effect field goes around them and either increases or reduces their mass. If it increases their mass enough, then gravity takes over and they flatten. They just die from too much gravity. If it reduces their mass, all of a sudden they're light and they're super fragile. And so like they take a step or they jump and then they just like, whew, just like getting hit by one of the giants in Skyrim. You just go flying off into the air, right? So, and you can choose which setting to put it on depending on what you're fighting. So like you're fighting a tank, you probably want to reduce its mass. And the next time it rolls over a bump, it just kind of like flips over because it's got too little mass. But you're shooting a Quarian or somebody, you increase their mass and all of a sudden they squish like a pancake.
That is an awesome, awesome idea. I love the idea of being able to squish enemies.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking, I don't know if this would qualify in like kind of the same realm. I'm thinking melee, but what if you had like a biotic sword?
Mm-hmm.
Or what if it was like an invisible sword? Like, I don't know how familiar you are with some of the external media for the Elder Scrolls, but I got this idea from, the Infernal City, one of the characters has that like ghost blade. It's like so thin it's invisible, and like just slices people in half with it.
So, oh man, that'd be cool. That'd be cool. I didn't think about like melee weapons. I was thinking like projectiles. Like another thing you could do with mass fields would be to change the if you can alter like on a dime the mass of your melee weapon. So, for example, you create a hammer. And on the actual end of the hammer's part itself, right before it makes contact, so it reduces the mass so it's easier to swing. And then as soon as it makes contact with something, it increases the mass so that you're like punching all the way through the,
Boing.
Right. Or like it's like just like cleaving a hole through like somebody's chest. Like, normal hammer hits somebody, maybe breaks their chest and knocks them over. Right. But this thing would like be so heavy by that point that the weight itself through the motion of just swinging it would just like plunge through your enemies.
This is like the Mass Effect version of the super sledge.
Yeah. Yeah. But can you imagine, imagine the end of a hammer. Like if that thing weighs 10 pounds, right? It's a big hammer, 10 pound thing at the end. It's, it's light enough to swing, but if you get hit by it, that's going to hurt. But when it actually lands on somebody, it's 100 pounds. Just all of a sudden, just boom. It's like, oh.
You know, it'd be cool if there was a sniper rifle that fired like a huge, huge slug, and it was meant for like extremely long engagements, like far engagements. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe it like reduced the mass of the slug so much that if you fired at someone, it would just be like a fucking like a Moab bomb going off, and you could fire it like maybe miles away.
Yeah, like at extremely fast speeds, even though it's really large.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
And maybe like a tank buster round. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like an actual Barrett 50 cal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the idea of like fluctuating a mass field, making something heavy and then light and then heavy and then light. Another thing would be like to shoot something that like coats your enemies, but then the mass of the thing coating the enemies increases. So even like a net or something.
So they like get really heavy.
So like instead of like I was talking about like the mass field changing the mass of the individual and all of a sudden they pancake because of gravity. But what if you had like a sticky material or a material like a net, like a web that you could just kind of like launch over an enemy, but then all of a sudden the webbing itself gets really heavy and then pins them to the ground. Like it'd be like a non-lethal way of capturing somebody.
So we're talking about mass effect field generating weapons, right? But not on the projectile on the target itself. And I'm thinking, and this is a little maniacal, but stay with me. I'm thinking, what if you had a weapon in Mass Effect that was like a net almost, but it was like a Mass Effect field net. So you caught someone in a Mass Effect field, and then like therefore the cops could use it as like a non-lethal thing. Or or you know how biotic detonations work. What if then you like used force throw on the person?
Yeah, right.
And their mass was already reduced to the point where they were like a feather. Yes, and
right.
And you literally send them into the future.
Into the future. Yeah, or just off the planet. Just
right. Yeah. They go into orbit and like they're going so fast that they time travel. And it's already canon in Mass Effect that some Mass Effect fields preserve the integrity and the G's inside the Mass Effect field. So you don't really feel it, you know, when you're going into high speeds. So they'd be like fine, but they would be like shot into the future. Like everyone else has aged a lot, but they haven't. And they're like, what the fuck was that?
The speed they were moving. Yeah. 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 Yeah, you're talking like super crazy. Like I was talking like, yeah, maybe make them float around. And you're talking about like shoot them like to the speed of light.
Yeah. Flying around at the speed of sound. Yeah.
Right. Man, there's so many things that you could do. And some of these things absolutely border on just like ridiculous, but, I would love, in fact, it'd be really cool to get some of our listeners' ideas on this, on what guns they
maybe
would.
That could be the next Mysterious Benefactor contest. Design a Mass Effect weapon.
Or the conversation for next week.
Yeah.
Would be like,
I don't know.
If you could design a weapon in Mass Effect, what would it do? Because there's a lot of technology they have that we don't. So the sky's the limit, you know?
Or you could even open it up and make it design one piece of Mass Effect gear.
It could be any gear.
Maybe someone has an idea for like a piece of armor that they would want.
Right. Yeah. A helmet, armor set, a vehicle. That could be cool. Man, this has been fun. I love talking all these different items and things. Well, but we got to wrap up the episode. Sam, I know you got streams. Where can people check out your stuff?
Yeah, still streaming Sassy Shepard with some modded Mass Effect 3. That's on Saturdays, Sassy Ship Saturdays. And then I got Thetas Thursdays for my Dragon Age first playthrough ever. If people are interested in catching some of my streams, they can find me at N7 The Legend on Twitch.
Awesome. Yep, you can catch my streams. I've been streaming a bunch of stuff as well, messing with mods, just playing things, hanging out with people. I love chatting with you guys when I get the opportunity. All my stuff's over on the Robots Radio channels on YouTube and Twitch and Facebook. Just pick the one you want to watch or, you know, whatever platform you prefer. Also, I just recently released some songs on Spotify. I've been messing around writing music. I've got three lo-fi tracks up on Spotify right now. If you just search Robots Radio on Spotify, lo-fi for synths is what it's called. And they're also copyright free. So if you have a playlist that you are using on your stream or want songs for videos or any of that kind of stuff, you can use these songs, put them, just grab them from Spotify, drop them in your playlist, and then you can use them. So, you know, let me know what you think. If you guys are into this stuff, I'll keep writing more and I'll eventually add, I have like a whole big long playlist of stuff. So that's what I got going on. But other than that, that's what we got for this week. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Chat, thank you for being here and putting up with the shenanigans. We'll see you next time. Stay safe out there. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.